Today on Let the Bible Speak.
Though God has made various covenants with people throughout time, there are two primary covenants that He has made with His chosen people. Why the one we have today is much better. It's great to be with you for another study of God's Word. That Word is divided into two major divisions, the Old and New Testaments. A majority of the Old Testament Scriptures cover a long period of time where God had a covenant with the ancient nation of Israel, the children of the patriarch Abraham, a covenant being an agreement, much like the various agreements that we make with another person or entity today. Well, the 39 Old Testament books show how God formed a nation and He made a covenant or agreement with that people that He chose to serve Him in that age. He unfolded His purposes and ultimately through them brought the Christ into the world. Much of the Old Testament, though, is a sad story of how the Israelites broke the conditions of that covenant, and ultimately, as a nation, they were rejected by God. Though many Jews were, of course, saved when the gospel was preached unto them, the fact is the Jewish leaders suffered destruction and the destruction of Jerusalem, and that old covenant and that old system was done away, and God confirmed that in the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. But God established a new covenant, and the New Testament book of Hebrews in particular is an explanation of not only why God established a new covenant with man, but also why it is much better. Let's read together from Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 6 says, "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." Here he says that the Lord has established a better covenant with man today, built on better promises. There's been a change of the priesthood, and that old system has waxed old and vanished away, and now we have the substance of what was foreshadowed in that temporary system. It is much better to live under the new covenant, the New Testament of Jesus Christ, than to be subject to the Old Testament, which came by Moses. But why? In today's study, we'll look at the new and better covenant after a song.
Enroll in our free Bible course and discover the pure and timeless teaching of the Word of God. If you feel overwhelmed by all of Satan's confusion, this course will introduce you to the Bible with a simple, clear way to study and learn. You complete the lessons whenever and wherever is convenient for you. There is no charge and absolutely no strings attached. It's yours for the asking. Just scan the code on your screen or contact us by phone or email and ask to be enrolled in the free Bible correspondence course, and lesson number one will be on its way. Again, you owe us nothing. Get in touch and get started right away.
throughout the book of Hebrews, the New Testament law is compared to the Old Testament law and is shown to be superior in every respect. Now, the law of Moses was part of God's eternal purpose, but it fell short in accomplishing it altogether. But the covenant that He established with us through Jesus Christ did those things the law was unable to do and did them to the uttermost. We want to be very careful to point out that the law that was given to the Jews by Moses, that is, the Ten Commandments and all of the ceremonial laws and sacrificial laws recorded in the Old Testament Scriptures, all of that was inspired of God, and it certainly was in keeping with God's design and purposes. It was not a mistake. It was not an afterthought on God's part. God was not playing it by ear through time. Rather, it was all a part of His overall great plan. The Old Testament law is just as much a part of the Word of God as any other portion, but it was never intended by God to be a permanent thing. It was only to last until Jesus Christ came and fulfilled it. Then its authority was taken away and a new law was established through Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 19 puts it this way. Paul asks the question, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." Well, the word seed here refers to Jesus Christ. Now look down at verse 23. He says, "But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster." So the new law replaced the old when Jesus fulfilled the old law at His death upon the cross. The old law was preparatory. It pointed forward. It brought the people of God to the point of salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. In Hebrews, Paul is comparing that old fleshly covenant made with the physical nation, marked by physical circumcision, soaked in the blood of animal sacrifices, filled with ordinances and ceremonies that pertain to the tabernacle of the sacrificial system. And he compares all of that to the spiritual blessings that all people of all nations, not only the Jews, can now find in Christ Jesus. We now have a new covenant through Him. We don't live under two covenants, and there are not two covenants in place or in existence today. There is not a covenant today between God and the Jews and another covenant between God and the Gentiles. Rather, Christ brought a new covenant. The apostle said in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13, "In that He saith, a new covenant He hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away." Well, here he's referring to the impending destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, which would leave the Jews' temple and religion in a heap of dust and ashes, to be no more. That former covenant was done away by Christ and confirmed by the destruction of Jerusalem. And one word can be used to summarize the Hebrew writer's conclusion about the new covenant that is now in place. That is the word better. The New Testament is a better covenant built on better promises, Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. But what makes it better? Why should you and I be thankful to live under that covenant today? Well, first of all, because it is a spiritual covenant as opposed to a fleshly covenant. What do we mean by that? Well, the old covenant was between God and an earthly physical nation. God chose the Jews to be the people through whom He would bring the Christ, the Messiah, into the world to redeem Adam's fallen race. But the result of God choosing this nation meant that all of the nations were excluded. Paul therefore pictured the sad state of the Gentiles under the Old Testament era over in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in the 11th verse. There he says, "Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." You see, that old covenant was a fleshly covenant. Jewish males bore the mark of that covenant in their bodies, circumcision, and that set them apart in the eyes of God from the uncircumcised Gentiles. That mark reminded them of God's promise and how God brought Isaac into the world through Abraham and Sarah miraculously, and from Abraham through Isaac and through that seed came the nation of Israel, this covenant people through whom God worked out His plan and His purposes through time. Now, all of God's promises and blessings under that covenant fell to the Jews. Now, God did not choose them for eternal salvation. That's a very important thing to note. Don't mistake that fact. But He did choose them for service to Him, that through Him He might bring eternal salvation to people of all races, Jew and Gentile. In other words, God chose them, the Jews, as the conduit through which He would ultimately bless all of the world, them and all of the other nations of earth. And God intended for the Jews to be a light unto the Gentiles, and God, according to the promise that He made to faithful Abraham, made them the seed line through which the Messiah would one day be born into the world and bless all nations alike. Now, Paul goes on. He says, "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off," speaking of the Gentile nations of the world, he says, "you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for He is our peace, who hath made both one," Jew and Gentile, "and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man." Out of the two He made one, so making peace, "and that He might reconcile both," again, Jew and Gentile, "unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." So God took the old law out of the way. That law was given to the Jew that delineated him from the Gentile. But now, since that law is taken out of the way, there is no difference. The whole thing was God's plan all along, you see, to redeem the lost world through Jesus, who would come through this special people God chose for this purpose. Spiritual blessings, including the forgiveness of our sins, our eternal salvation, citizenship in His everlasting kingdom, those blessings belong to the Church of Christ today because of God's plan that was accomplished through His people of old. Jeremiah prophesied that a new covenant between God and His people would one day come. And I want you to look at that prophecy found in Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. Jeremiah chapter 31, and start reading in verse 31. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel," the true Israel of God, you see. He says, "After these days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Well, what does that mean, that they should teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord? Well, it's the contrast, you see, between the fleshly and spiritual nature of these covenants. Jews were part of the old covenant because they were Jews. It was a fleshly covenant. A Jewish baby was born into that relationship, into that covenant. A Jewish baby was circumcised at just 8 days old, and was part of this covenant by essence of his physical birth, the blood that was coursing through his veins. He later had to be taught to know the Lord. But Jeremiah, long before Jesus, prophesied that all of that would change in Jesus with the establishment of a new covenant by Jesus, through Jesus. Under that new covenant, he says the law of God would be written on the heart because one bears the circumcision of Christ in his heart instead of the mark of circumcision the Jews had on their bodies essentially from birth. So today, one is spiritually born into God's kingdom, and he enters into the new covenant, not by essence of his physical birth or physical circumcision, but by essence of his spiritual birth and spiritual circumcision. You may recall Nicodemus, who was a Jew and part of the Old Covenant because of his birth and circumcision. But what did Jesus tell him? John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Well, that confused Nicodemus. He goes on to say, "Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" That's the only birth Nicodemus could conceive of. But notice what Jesus introduces. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Then notice what Jesus says in the next verse, verse 6. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Flesh referring to a Jew under the old covenant, born into that covenant. Spirit meaning a child of God who's made so by faith in Christ Jesus. And of course, it's the gospel, the word of God, that brings him to faith in Christ Jesus. And he's baptized into Christ and enters into this new covenant and this new relationship. So he's contrasting these two ideas. And of course, that confused Nicodemus because all he had known and all he could imagine was that fleshly covenant he had lived all of his life under as a Jew. He didn't understand how a man could be born again other than as it relates to physical birth, and that would have made no sense. Well, Jesus let him know that wasn't the kind of birth he was speaking of because the covenant that he brought was new. It was different. Today, men and women alike are parties to this covenant, and by essence of obedient faith in Christ, we are forgiven of our sins and thus circumcised in the heart. And that's why each man, woman, under the new covenant doesn't have to be taught to know the Lord like the Jew of old. He or she already knows the Lord because it was his or her hearing the gospel and placing their faith in Jesus and obeying the gospel that brought him or her to know the Lord to begin with. We are born of a spiritual rebirth and circumcised in heart through faith, repentance, and obedience to the gospel. That's how we enter this new covenant, not by physical birth. It is a spiritual covenant that potentially extends to people of all nations, not just the fleshly Jew. The only way a fleshly Jew can enter into this new covenant, and he can, but the only way he can do so, is in the exact same way that a Gentile can. And that is by this spiritual rebirth, being born again, being born of water and of the Spirit, being baptized into Christ. It is a better covenant because all who will come to Christ in obedient faith can be a party in this covenant and enjoy its unsearchable riches and its immeasurable blessings and spiritual privileges, especially the forgiveness of sin and therefore fellowship, unbroken fellowship with God. Now, my friend, no matter who you are, what your race, your background, your socioeconomic status, it matters not. God desires for you to enter into this covenant with Him. He wants you to enter into this agreement that He has made and offered wherein you can enjoy the forgiveness of your sins. And that's possible through what Jesus Christ did upon Calvary. But then there's the mediator of the new covenant that makes it better. Not only the nature of it, the mediator of it. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a mediator is one who goes between two groups of people to help them work out the differences and come to agreement. That's how we think of a mediator. And a mediator is usually a neutral party, a go-between, an arbitrator who brings about reconciliation when divided persons are not able to work out the differences. Now, Moses served in that role when God established His covenant with Israel, which we know as the Old Testament or Mosaic Law. It was through Moses that the law was given to the children of Israel from the top of smoking, trembling Mount Sinai. Moses stood between the people and God, as it were, and he brought the will of God to them. Now, the idea of a mediator in the Old Testament really applied to three roles. First, the role of the priest in offering sacrifice on behalf of the people. Second, the role of the prophet in administering God's law or His will unto the people. And third, the role of the king who ruled over the people by God's authority. Well, in a sense, Moses occupied all three of those positions. He offered sacrifice and consecrated the house of Aaron as priest over the people. That sacrificial system came through Moses. He also spoke the word of God to them as a prophet. He delivered the law for them to keep. And he served as God's government on earth. You see, Moses was a symbol or type or picture of what Christ would be to us in this age of time. Only Christ is so much better, of course. Jesus is called the mediator of the new covenant in Hebrews 8 and verse 6, as we've already read. And he is the ultimate and perfect mediator for man in every sense. Why? Well, one, he alone, being fully God, can represent God to us. Number two, he alone can bring complete reconciliation because he alone can bring about complete payment for man's sin and therefore satisfaction of God's wrath. He represents man before a holy God. And number three, he alone can bring true and lasting peace between God and man. And he did that when he established the new covenant, when it was ratified through his blood. And as the old law came through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. You see, the law that Moses gave was not able to give eternal life, not because the law was bad itself. It was good. God gave it. The problem was man was insufficient. That law was based upon works that men failed to perfectly perform. And thus the law exposed the weakness of man and his inability to save himself from sin. It showed that man was hopelessly doomed by sin without the intervention of the perfect Savior. Galatians chapter 3, verse 19 says, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." So why did that old law come to be? As Paul just asked, "Wherefore then serveth the law?" Well, Lord willing, in our study next week, we're going to seek to answer that question. We're going to show why God did give that temporary law, what it accomplished, what it pointed out, and why the covenant that Jesus Christ inaugurated is so much better, and why it is therefore folly for men to try to go back and live by the old one today that was taken out of the way.
Enroll in our free Bible course and discover the pure and timeless teaching of the Word of God. If you feel overwhelmed by all of Satan's confusion, this course will introduce you to the Bible with a simple, clear way to study and learn. You complete the lessons whenever and wherever is convenient for you. There is no charge and absolutely no strings attached. It's yours for the asking. Just scan the code on your screen or contact us by phone or email and ask to be enrolled in the free Bible correspondence course, and lesson number one will be on its way. Again, you owe us nothing. Get in touch and get started right away. Subscribe to Let the Bible Speak TV on YouTube to see all our past broadcasts. You'll be notified each time a new video is released, and you can also share the program with others. Just scan the code on your screen or go to YouTube and search for Let the Bible Speak TV. Be sure to click the subscribe button and help us grow the channel and reach more people with the truth of Christ. That's Let the Bible Speak TV. Or just point your smartphone camera at the code on your screen and click the link to go to our page and subscribe.
It's always good to be with you from week to week to study the Scriptures. If you would like to have a copy of today's lesson, part one of the New and Better Covenant, we'll be happy to send it to you. It's a free printed copy. Just get in touch with us and ask for part one of the New and Better Covenant, and we will get that to you as quickly as we can. It's free of cost, and that's the case with anything that we ever offer here on Let the Bible Speak. We encourage you to check out our website always, letthebiblespeak.tv. You can also find it at the domain ltbstv.org. And remember to look us up on YouTube and subscribe to our channel and share our content. We would appreciate that, and you will help the truth of the gospel to go even farther. Thank you for joining me today. I hope you have a great week ahead. Make your plans if God is willing to be back here next time. Tell someone else about us and have them watch or DVR the program. And we'll look forward to being with you again, if God is willing. Until then, God bless you.
Let the Bible Speak is brought to you by The Church of Christ. For more information, including our past broadcast and sermon transcripts, visit ltbstv.org. Thanks for being with us today. Join us next time for Let the Bible Speak.